would like to address a question to Daniel, and Sarah might also respond. But it's in reference to joining the Eurasia Economic Forum, and you cited some of the advantages to joining. And I wondered, and I don't mean the question to be rhetorical, but you cited harmonization between Kazakhstan and Russia and opportunities that will create for trade. But have you, what is the impact of harmonizing that with Kyrgyzstan's WTO obligations? And does it in some way contradict your obligations under the WTO? Indeed, the union has complicated Kazakhstan's accession to the WTO, held it back for 3 years now, not more. And in addition, how have you analyzed carefully the actions of Russian agencies such as Roskomnadzor and Rosselkhoznadzor, and how they have treated exports from other European Economic Union states in given circumstances? Some might allege that those were politically motivated restrictions that were imposed on such products. Are you giving away the opportunity of trading with the world, or with the EU, or membership in the EU, since Russia does not allow, it seems, for the two to happen, for the perhaps nebulous advantages of being tied to the Russian economy?
Thank you so much. It's a great question. First of all, concerning WTO, we are not giving up our rights, because even with the accession to Eurasian Economic Union, we're going to still keep our obligations with WTO partners. And for the harmonization, we have done a really careful analysis of our legislation and standards and certification process and quality of laboratories for like exporting. For instance, when we joined WTO, we never had an incentive or support in order to reach the standards of WTO to be able to export and trade with the other WTO countries. That's why we were members for at least 12, 13 years, but we never benefited from it because we didn't have a financial backup in order to bring our level to the accepted standards of WTO member countries. Whereas we have analyzed the framework and the system within the newly created Eurasian Economic Union, and the standards and laboratory in certification, they are higher than present, like in Kyrgyz Republic. So our approach is we're going to go forward as long as it doesn't it's a better practice than we already had. That means Eurasian Economic Union is not a solution. It's not. It's just the beginning, and it has a lot of internal problems. Some decisions can be made arbitrarily, as you said, with the Moldovan wine or Georgian wine, something like that. But in order to assure that there will be some systematic institutional approach, these days, I mean, Kyrgyz Republic have not completely signed all the protocols because we are now harmonizing our legislation in line with the EU requirements, but at the same time, we are not completely in it. We are requiring Russian Federation to give up the right to the supranational institution, which is going to be higher council of the Eurasian Economic Union. And it's a representative body from each country. You will have representatives, and they will have one vote each, meaning that arbitrarily decisions that were commonplace before, like Rospetrednazor, Interfos, they would make a decision and revoke the right to export to Russia. In this case, we are getting that kind of protocol signed with Russia. And definitely, for Kyrgyz Republic, any improvement is an improvement, because if you look at the situation with the laboratory and certification, we are having a main challenge not being able to export. Even China, we have a trade disbalance with China around $14 billion. That means we potentially can export to China items up to $14 billion. However, we do not have the system of certification in laboratories in order to be able to send our items to China. And in this regard, while we're creating our investment climate to be the best in the region, we are opening up to the best companies in Europe, in Southeast Asia, and in the U.S. to come and invest in Kyrgyz Republic, because we do have a cheapest price for energy, for the labor market, and we do have a really very competitive human capital. That being said, we are providing a platform for bigger players to service the market of the Eurasian Economic Union. At the same time, to have an opportunity to trade and export whatever products the potential investors might produce, export to China. And positioning ourselves within that union as a manufacturing giant, or we're not. We know that we're not going to be able to compete with China or with our. If it comes to the natural resources, we're not going to compete with Russia. We're going to create the conditions for everybody to join and use our market to profit. We're going to be making our economy knowledge based. We're going to be just servicing all the stakeholders. That's the idea behind all we are doing right now. I hope that answers.
Actually, I would like to know the answer to your question before I go ahead and sign the EU agreement, because that's the whole point. You know, when you join a club, well, first of all, you have to volunteer and you have to do your homework, you have to prepare, you have to qualify to join that union. Our case was not that, unfortunately, to put it mildly. So we signed it, and then now let's see, what do we have on the signed agreement. And some of the things that are in that agreement are not clear. Because as I said in my speech, Moscow did not communicate very clearly what their expectations are and what are all the regulations will be in terms when it comes to unified customs, unified tax system. Our businesses, they have no idea how it is will be managed. Plus, we already know that I personally will be overpaying for products. Roughly, we have a list of 800 items, which have lower tariff now than it will be after a couple of years, because the EU tariff system is much higher at the customs level than the currently that Armenia is doing according to with WTO. So, if you ask me, and forget that I'm a banker, I'm a resident, so what do we have now? I'm going to pay more for the product that I'm going to use. If I'm a businessman, I don't know what are the implications of the unified tariff structure, how it's going to influence my business. I don't know this whole currency thing, you know? How am I going to even do the trade? And if you heard Mr. Putin announced his commitment to bring a unified currency for the entire region, now this is another disaster. Our central bank already announced that, hey, we need time, we cannot do this. And Mr. Putin was very clear. He said, I expect concept to be ready by end of December this year. All right, and the concept is the most difficult part. Because you have to talk to your neighbors at least. Yes, you have to understand the currency rates. And I mean, I suppose this is a very complex process. You don't give 6 months to settle this issue. So I seriously see big challenges. But we don't know. As I said, Armenia joined as of January 1. If you look at the first quarter of the statistics report, export to Russia zero. Because we have to understand now that do we have to put the papers under the Georgia name and then how Georgia will transfer the goods. Those goods who are already on the last mountains, how they will be taxed when they come to Armenia. So we have big, big question marks. And as I said, give us 1 year. I will come back and maybe hopefully with some positive note to this.
question for the Central Asian, we both represent Central Asian countries. I was wondering, what do you think the future is of national security cooperation within Central Asia? You talked about Central Asian countries cooperating when it comes to infrastructure, but when it comes to national security situation, it's very different. For example, someone briefly mentioned the threat of radical Islam. So far, there's been a trend of sort of blaming Tajikistan for not protecting the border well enough. And you see, for example, on the Kyrgyz-Kazakh border, that the Kazakh government is protecting its own border, but not necessarily helping Kyrgyzstan in protecting their own border. That's wondering what you're seeing that.
That's a very good observation. If you notice, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Tajik Minister of Defense located, I think, up to 2,000 soldiers from border between Kyrgyz Republic and Tajikistan towards border between Tajikistan and Afghanistan. That means, and I can also attest that, Kyrgyz Republic and Tajikistan in this regards are working, they started working together because we are the front line and we are very sensitive to these insurgencies and we don't want to waste our resources just keeping between our borders a lot of soldiers that can be just used in the other part of the borders. As for the other neighboring states, unfortunately, there is not much cooperation going on in terms of security. Although within the framework of existing organizations like Shanghai Cooperation Organization, CIS, CSTO, there are already the framework is ready. But the problem is that framework is not functional. And if you can see the situation back in 2010, when there was an ethnic clash in south of Kyrgyz Republic, the CSTO was not ready to react. And now you can only question when it can react. And the answer is probably never, because the main contributor to that force is Russia, which is not capable of, in this situation with the sanctions coming from the West and their maneuvers in the Ukraine, I don't think they can afford to sending that much of military support to the region.
You know, the question is extremely interesting. The problem is, regarding Afghanistan, it's ISIS influence and now this different formation. They are already in Afghanistan and some grouping and so on, especially in the body with this Turkmenistan and Tajikistan. The problem is, of course, Uzbek-Afghan border is more or less equipped for protection. But the diversity of geography is a little bit problem with Tajik-Afghan and Turkmen, especially Turkmen-Afghan border issues. So why? For instance, last week was meeting of Chief of Staff of Border Protection of Uzbekistan and Tajikistan discussed not only the limitation issue, but also common approach and within the possible perspective some unstabilization. This is the first. The second is nowadays Turkmenistan is now working in the framework the Preventive Diplomacy Center in Ashgabat, and they are jointly working on assisting Turkmenistan from other countries, including the United States, how to improve all the protection in the case. But to be honest, Central Asia does not accept security challenges within current Afghanistan, but probably ISIS influence more this danger nowadays. This is more crucial issue nowadays.